Сегодня я хотел, чтобы мы продолжили наше рассуждение и посмотрели на 5 стихов, которые записаны в книге Судей. В книге Судей. Мы будем размышлять немножко по-английски, но я просто хотел вам сказать, где мы будем читать, какие стихи и о чем размышлять. Так что, если кто не понимает, пожалуйста, читайте и вникайте в это. Стихи, которые будем читать сегодня, записаны в 3 главе книги Судей. 3 глава книги Судей, 7 по 11 стихи. Если вы помните, первые две главы книги Судей, это можно так сказать просто вступление. Первая глава – это вступление как бы с точки зрения Израиля. Вторая глава – вступление с точки зрения Бога. И помните, как мы уже говорили, в первой главе с точки зрения Израиля, вроде когда люди живут в этой стране, Кани Галилейской, если так сказать, или Ханаанской стране, то с их точки зрения вроде бы все нормально, мы видели. Во второй главе мы увидели, что с Божьей точки зрения он говорит, все ненормально. Израильский народ в очень плохом, можно сказать, ситуации, потому что он оставил и живет между неверных. И начиная вот с этой третьей главы, мы видим судью за судьей. Судью за судьей, которые описаны в этой книге Судей. И как нам Бог через свое священное описание показывает, как Он спасает и как Он долготерпеливо относится к своему народу. И вот как раз в этих 5 стихах мы читаем об первых из этих героях. Из первых, можно так сказать, судей, которые описаны. Я не знаю, если вы слышали об этом первой судье или нет, но имя его Гафаниил. Имя его Гафаниил. И как раз об этом судье здесь и идет история. So with that, let's go ahead and read the first, actually 5 verses. Not the first 5 verses, but starting with verse 7 in chapter 3 of Judges. It says the following over there, starting with verse 7. So the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. They forgot the Lord their God and served the Baals and Ashtoreths. Therefore, the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, and he sold them into the hand of Cushan-Rishathaim, king of Mesopotamia. And the children of Israel served Cushan-Rishathaim 8 years. When the children of Israel cried out to the Lord raised up a deliverer for the children of Israel, who delivered them, Othniel, the son of Kenaz, Caleb's younger brother. The Spirit of the Lord came upon him, and he judged Israel. He went out to war, and the Lord delivered Cushan-Rishathaim, king of Mesopotamia, into his hand, and his hand prevailed over Cushan-Rishathaim. So the land had rest for 40 years. Then Othniel, the son of Kenaz, died. So we read these 5 verses here today. And as I mentioned in Russian, it's about the first judge that's mentioned in the book of Judges. Othniel is his name. Very rarely mentioned or preached about. But because he is the first judge, we need to give him his credit and pause and see what the scriptures is telling us about. And so what do we know about this individual Othniel? If you recall from the first chapter of the book of Judges, in verses 12 through about 15, what do we know about him? We know that he's the nephew of Caleb. Remember who Caleb is? Joshua and Caleb were the only two men that made it into the promised land, and Othniel was his niece. That's what we know. What else do we know? We also know that he was married to the daughter of Caleb. What else do we know? We know that he was a brave young man who had deep faith and understanding of the scriptures. And why do I say that? Because again, recall from the first chapter when Caleb wanted to conquer a city, he gave a promise. He said, whoever conquers the city, I will give my daughter to that person. And we see Othniel in that first chapter raise his hand and say, I will conquer the city. Why was he doing that? Because he must have had deep faith in the word of God, that if God said, this is your land and you will possess it, Othniel believed that God would be true to his word. So that's about all that we know about Othniel, that he was the nephew, that he had a wife, that it was the daughter of Caleb, and that he possessed a city with some springs that Caleb gave to his daughter. Besides that, not a very bright character that is described in the Word of God. And you know, oftentimes in the scriptures and in life, we meet a lot of very sort of bright characters or very loud characters. For example, if I was to ask our youth, you know, who do you know that's a bright character, maybe even amongst ourselves, the youth would probably say, well, we know Armin, he's very bright, larger than life. That's a very kind of a loud, bright character. If we think of the biblical characters, for example, you all know Solomon or Samson. They were also very kind of bright character. There's a lot to say. And oftentimes those bright characters have such strong personalities that it's difficult to see what God maybe is doing in their life. But when we look at Othniel, so little is said about him that the entire focus is actually on God. The entire focus of his judgeship is on God. And so we read this text here, five verses. I briefly wanted to highlight also five things out of these five verses. Again, recall that this life of Othniel is in the context of the Jewish nation living in the promised land. And look where we ended the prior discussion in verse 6 of chapter 3. It says, and they took their daughters to be their wives and gave their daughters to their sons, and they served their gods. So the context is where we start the story about Othniel is that the nation of Israel is basically living in apostasy. They're living in apostasies. They have left God. They have basically rejected God. As we read in the prior verse, they are serving their gods, or the gods of the people of that particular land. And it is at that time that Othniel comes into the scene. So what are the five things I briefly want to highlight for us that we could learn from? Well, first, as we read in chapter 3, verse 7, our very first verse that we read, notice that it says that children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. It's interesting that it says this. What is this evil that it's talking about? The writer goes on to explain what the evil was, and the evil comprised of two things. It says, if you read on the verse, it says, they forgot the Lord their God. That's the first evil. And the second, they served the Baals and Asherahs. So the evil that it's talking about is they forgot and they served different gods. So what forgetfulness is it talking about? Did the Jewish people really forget who God was? Could they, in talking to one another, not remember that only a couple hundred years back they were living in Egypt and God actually removed them from them or took them out and brought them to the promised land? Did they really forget that and had zero recollection? No, that's not the case. They didn't forget that. And in the biblical sense, when the word is used, forget something or think not of something, it doesn't mean that we cerebrally don't recall something anymore. It means that while we might have the head knowledge, there is no action or there is no follow through. And so, as a quick example of that, for example, those of you that were here yesterday, there were some folks here that I've seen, that I haven't seen in an extremely long, long time. And you could say that some of those folks have forgotten where the church was. But when the special event came around, they certainly didn't forget where the address of the church was because they came here as well, right? And so there is a perfect example for you of how people forget, but they don't actually forget the facts. They just forget, or they choose to put something else as a first priority, which ties into the second evil, which is mentioned in verse 7, where it says, they forgot the Lord, and they also served Baals and Asherahs. What are those things? Those were the little gods of that time. For us, of course, there's different things that fight for your attention. And so we should pause and reflect and ask ourselves, what about us? Are we forgetting? Are we forgetting? And is there something else on our daily life that squeezes out the most important thing, squeezes out the gospel and God and comes in and as a priority. So that's the first item I wanted to highlight for us. The second, if you read on to verse 8, look what's mentioned there. There it's mentioned that, therefore, because of this, this stirred up the anger of the Lord. So the Israel left God, and this stirred up the anger of the Lord. And it says that he, God, sold them into the hand of a king who was in that area. Don't miss that. Because we read that, and now as we read the scriptures, we just sort of gloss over that. But don't gloss over that, because in that, there is not just a common history, but there is almost like a cause and effect. We look around at our world right now with all of its calamities and all of its unrest, and we see a bunch of unrest in Africa and Asia and Eastern Europe. And we say, oh my gosh, why is that happening? And blah, blah, blah. But the fact of the matter is there's no coincidences in history. And what we see from this verse is that the reason why God sold his people into slavery is because they walked away from him. And that's interesting, because we need to see an almighty hand in everything that is happening, an almighty hand of God, that is, in everything that's happening in the course of the history, in all of these events and political events now, as it was back then as well. But there is good news in this wrath of God that is being poured out onto the Israelites. And what is that good news? The good news is that we can see that this wrath is essentially a red hot revelation, you could say, of God's jealousy or jealous love. He is not willing to let his people live in sin and continue in sin. He is punishing them. He is basically striking them so that they would see a need for him. So he's not leaving them be. That's the second item I wanted to point out for us. The third is captured in verse 9. In verse 9, look, after being sold and after being into the hands of Cushan Rishathaim, and after serving him for 8 years, so after being slaves for 8 years and being taken advantage, looks what happened. What happens? The children of Israel, it says, cried out to the Lord. They cried out. So they were crying out in their adversity. And look what happened. It says that the Lord raised up a deliverer for them, Othniel. So that's the first time the name of Othniel is mentioned in these verses. And it's interesting, because as I was studying and reading for this, the question comes up, did Israel repent, or did they just cry out? Did they repent, or did they actually cry out? Because you see God answering and saving them. And I would submit to you that they were just crying out because it got so bad, but they actually weren't repenting. Now, why do I say that? Because if you read on, we stopped at verse 11. If you go on to verse 12, it says, after Othniel died, look what happened. The children of Israel again did evil in the sight of the Lord. So they went back to what they were used to doing. That's what verse 12 says. The entire context of the book of Judges sees that this cycle repeats over and over again. And then lastly, as I was reading commentaries, one of the theologians that studied the word used here for Israel crying out indicated that it is used not as the same word that's used for the word repentance. And so that's amazing. If you think about it, God's people get squeezed and get punished, get put into such a horrible circumstance that they cry out to the Lord. They don't repent. They just cry out to the Lord, and he saves them. What an amazing and merciful God. You know, think of the situations perhaps even in your own life or in the lives of others that you hear. Whenever it gets bad, people cry out to the Lord. It's often said that there are no unbelievers on the front lines of wars. Wherever it gets tough, people cry out. And the amazing nature of our God is that even to his unrepentant nation, but the one that's crying out because it's getting so bad, he is showing mercy and he is showing physical salvation. That's the third item I wanted to highlight for us. And then fourth, look, he gives them a savior, Othniel, as we just saw in verse 9 and 10. And then fourth is, if you look at verse 10, it says, the Spirit of the Lord came upon him and he judged Israel. And he went out to war and the Lord delivered Cushan-Rishathaim, king of Mesopotamia, into his hand. And his hand prevailed over Cushan-Rishathaim. So what we see, fourthly, is that the salvation through this judge, Othniel, is clearly coming from the Lord. Because again, it says in verse 10 that the Spirit of the Lord is what came and gave Othniel the power to defeat that king as well as to judge the land later on. And it's interesting for us to pause and notice. Why? Because just in verse 8, we saw that Lord was angry. The anger of the Lord burned against Israel, and he's the one that sold Israel to this king. And then two verses later, again, it's the Lord that is giving Othniel the power to beat that same king and to have victory. It's amazing. But again, to us, it is a confirmation that God is in control and that salvation is from him. And then lastly, the fifth item that I want to highlight for us is the gift of God that we see in verse 11. It says in verse 11, the land rested for 40 years. Then Othniel, son of Kenaz, died. So lastly, the gift of God to his nation was that he gave peace. He gave peace and the land rested for 40 years. Years. Oftentimes, folks equate this to the rest that we will have in heaven and then the afterlife. But I think this gift is talking about the physical rest that the nation of Israel enjoyed at that time. And remember also in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, when Paul tells Timothy to pray for the government and for kings. Why? So that we may enjoy peaceful and quiet lives. Where? Here on this earth. And so that gift God gave to the Israelites over there, and if we think about it, if we think actually again of our own nation and all the calamities that are happening all over the world, God is also being merciful to us now in giving us still that gift to this day in the land that we live here. And we should be forever grateful for that. Though, now, day and age, we don't deserve it, just like as the Israelites did not deserve it back then because they were just simply crying out and not fully repentant. The gift was still in effect back then as it is in effect now. Yet, look how the story ends. The story here of this first judge, of the first righteous judge who drew his power and strength only from the Lord ends with the following verses. It says, the land rested for 40 years, and then Othniel, the son of Kenaz, died. It doesn't end with happily ever after. It ends with him, the righteous judge, dying. And as we'll see next time, when we continue looking through the book of Judges, the cycle is repeated. It is repeated by the sinful people. And so as we learn a little bit more about this first judge, Othniel, and the fact that his strength was in the Lord, and the fact that he wasn't a very colorful type of an individual, but he drew all of his strength from the Lord, and because of the Lord, he was victorious and he was righteous. And not much else is known about him. Let this be an example to us. Let this be an example to us not to pursue being flamboyant or very colorful characters, but in all that we do, in all that we say, draw our strength and point towards and from Christ. Amen.